This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi everyone. You're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. My name is Asha Amadatri, and welcome back. Today I've got two very, very special guests today. Penelope, would you like to introduce yourself first?
Hi, yeah, I'm Penelope. So happy to be here. I'm a founding member of Double Take Productions.
Woo!
and the writer and director for our upcoming show, Entertaining Angels Unaware.
Yippee! April?
I'm April McMillan Perkins. I am one of the co-founders of Double Take Productions. I'm also one of the performers in Entertaining Angels Unaware.
It's very exciting. You guys might be listening right now and be like, what the freak are you guys on about right now? Entertaining Angels Unaware, what's going on? So you guys mentioned co-founding members of, well, what is this? Enlighten us.
Double Take Productions.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know too, Asha, because you are also a founding member.
Oh, yeah, really?
Really? It is a new female-led theatre collective in Dunedin. We are dedicated to producing original theatre, and our inaugural production is called Entertaining Angels Unaware.
That's very, very exciting. Yeah. Actually, Pip approached me last year and was like, hey, want to do this? And I was just like, you're crazy. Yes, let's go.
I was so glad you said yes.
It was like an immediate yes. I think I remember, Pip, like you stopped me in the middle. Like we passed each other on campus. And
that's
then like
right.
You stopped me and I'm like, hey, let's, like we were just passing by. It was like, no, hey, how are you? It's just, we're doing this. I was like, cool. I guess I'm in it now.
Intense is the only way to go.
Yeah, 100%. April, what about you? Like how did you get roped into? By force.
Oh, come on now.
I do quite a lot of work with Penelope, and it was also sometime last year. I didn't know what exactly it was that I was getting myself into. I'm glad now, but Pip just came up to me and was like, oh, do you want to do something at Fringe next year? And me knowing that Penelope is very talented at writing and directing. I was like, yes, absolutely. Not really aware of what it was going to be, but I was excited.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
We've started rehearsing now for Entertaining Angels Unaware, and it's, we're 10 days out, I believe.
Yes.
And it's very, like, it's very exciting. You guys should definitely go to the Fringe.
Yes.
But I think I'm getting ahead of myself. What is the Fringe Festival for any of those who don't know?
That's a great question. So it is the 26th year of Dunedin's Fringe Festival, which is essentially...
That's older than me.
Wow. Yeah, older than all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a very successful Fringe Festival. And a Fringe Festival is a couple of weeks where essentially the city comes alive with theatre. There are lots and lots of productions on underneath the Fringe umbrella. Usually there'll be, 10 a day across different venues across the city, and all sorts of artists, whether they're local from Dunedin, national or international, we have artists from all across the world, descend upon Dunedin and put on theatre. And it's usually fairly cheap, and the idea is to get the community seeing all these productions, and then there's an award ceremony at the end.
It's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because I think... Obviously, theater is an art, right? It's just so fun to be able to have like a full, like, what is it, like 10 days or something?
Yes.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, like 10 days filled with just like nonstop art, filled with talented people, with all of their own stories to tell in their own mediums.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's so, I think, is cultural the right word? I don't know, like it's so rich.
It is. Yeah. There's so much to see as well. And things that you wouldn't expect that you would go and see.
Yeah, I mean, this year there's Magic for Dogs, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks so cool.
Yeah.
How does that even work?
Well, we got to go and find
out.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So when, I'm really terrible at dates. So like, when is our show going up?
So Entertaining Angels Unaware is in the very first part of Fringe. So Fringe's opening night party is on the 11th of March, and then we open the 12th to the 14th at 10 p.m. at the New Athenaeum Theatre.
Awesome, awesome. 10 p.m. This is so
late
exciting.
At night. Yeah.
It means nothing else will be on, so no excuses.
No excuses. There's no clashes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think there's something magical about doing things like kind of like late at night. I don't know if it's just me, because I'm like, I've always been a little bit of a goody two-shoes, so I'm never out at night. So I'm just like, oh my God, I'm doing something forbidden.
It's not forbidden, Usher. You have to be there.
Yeah. It's forbidden not to go.
Yes, exactly.
And I expect you guys to go as well, anyone listening to
yes,
this.
Yes, please.
It would mean a lot.
Yeah.
So, April.
Yes.
You play the role of Eliza in our play.
Yes.
I'm trying to be really careful with how like I word questions, because this is the first time I'm not only interviewing people but also interviewing myself.
Yes.
But actually, no. I'll ask Pip first. What is the play about? Like, overview.
Great question. So Entertaining Angels Unaware is set in a girls' boarding school in the 1940s. It follows the story of two sisters, but also the younger sister's friends. So it is a cast of six. And it follows their secrets and their struggles and the kind of tenderness and intensity of their relationships in the week before they evacuate, their school evacuates to the countryside. And there's a hint of the supernatural in there, but I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who's thinking of coming along. But it's a play about sisterhood, whether that's within family or whether that's chosen sisterhood, and it's a play ultimately about grief and longing and letting go.
Oh, I mean, that's so well done. Like, thank you.
She
did not.
I only
it.
Wrote the thing.
Which is crazy, by the way. Super talented. For Thanks. Those of you who have been listening to Thoughts and Theories for a while, you might be recognizing Pip's voice and be like, where have I heard her before? Well, she's actually come on here before talking about Part as well, which you had also wrote, which is also going to be in Friends, right?
Yes, it is.
That's exciting.
It's
two
very exciting.
Of two plays that you have written will be in the show.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And scared.
You'll be fine. It'll be great. It'll be great. April, so what do you think in the play, what is a theme that stands out to you that I think that you think audiences will find really valuable?
Well, relationships is a very big theme throughout the entire show, and it explores different types of relationships and the benefits and also downsides to some of them and the tensions that can be there with them. But yeah, I think that's the main thing, at least for my job as an actor, I have to focus on.
Right.
Yeah, not spoiling too much.
It's very diplomatic of you.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that you play Eliza. Are we allowed to say who Eliza is?
Yeah, let's talk about Eliza.
So who is Eliza in the context of the play?
So Eliza is a prefect at the St. Agnes Girls' School. She runs the school with quite an iron fist. A lot of girls are quite aware that she's quite harsh with the way that she follows rules. She doesn't like to break them. She's very methodical, I would say, most of the time.
Interesting, intriguing. Yes. I want to know more. I already know more, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
I play Padma.
Yes.
I would say I'm, because Eliza's the older sister of one of the characters. Mm-hmm. I'm the younger sister's friend, one of the friends. And
her best friend.
Yeah. Her best friend, yeah. I don't know. For me, if I were to say, like, a theme that really stands out to me, whenever anyone asks about Entertaining Angels Unaware, the way I usually explain it is it's a story about endearing love.
Mm-hmm.
And that can come in the form of like family or friendship or anything else. Like, it's just through hard times, people will always be there for each other. And if you want to see like a bond that's unbreakable, no matter like who you surround yourself with, then this is the play to go to.
Yeah.
Actually, I was talking to a supervisor today, and then I made her buy tickets right in front of my face.
Oh, brilliant.
Beautiful. That's what we should just do.
Yeah, yeah. Right? We need to, like, do it.
Right now.
Right now.
I need to see it.
Give me your money. Nah, that's not what it's about.
Sorry.
Oh, Pip. Pip, so you wrote and directed this. Is it difficult to, like, juggle both? Because I know you... Now that it's already written, that job is already, you know, kind of done. But the question still stands, is it difficult sort of balancing between the two hats?
The short answer is yes, theoretically. but I think I knew what I was in for.
Right.
I have been saying to the cast throughout the entire process, there is a difference between director Penelope and writer Penelope. Writer Penelope has written the script, but she's not in the room with us right now. So we can talk freely about the script, and I want the cast to bring their own interpretations to the script. Just because I wrote the script doesn't mean that the way that I see things is exactly how the audience will see things. In fact, far from it. So it's really good to have that outside perspective that the cast brings in. And as a director, it's my job to mold and shape my vision of the script, but also what the cast, the individual members of the cast, bring to this interpretation of entertaining angels unaware. So I like to say to the cast, don't worry about what writer Pip said. Don't worry about that stage direction. We can do something a little bit differently if that feels different for you, right, or if that feels more natural. I thought that maybe when I wrote it, that line would be delivered in that way. But if that's how you're going to do it, as long as you can justify it, then that is absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. So just keeping... kind of, I think, humility and a little bit of professional distance from the fact that I wrote the work has really helped me to work as a director in a way that I hope has been helpful,
right,
for the cast to still bring their own ideas to something that I know quite intimately.
It actually has been very helpful.
That's good.
To add on to the fact as well, like, the group of us, we're all like friends. So I think I know sometimes it's sort of difficult for us in the rehearsal room to sort of put our, like, goofy, silly side away and start working.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's also been very fun. It's been very comfortable, especially when doing things like, you know, slightly more heavy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, some of the work is quite intense, especially for people like April, but for everyone, I think, the topic, although the content is not necessarily adult, it's still quite heavy.
Right.
So, I mean, it's heavy, but it's hopeful. Mm-hmm, but getting through that heavy part, especially, yeah, for April, you've been a real champ in the rehearsal room taking on that content.
You've been there since day one, April.
Yeah,
like, you're
at
every single
real tears in the first rehearsal, might I add.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Guys, you're keeping secrets from me. What the freak?
Well, she made me cry.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, a lot of us are already really quite close friends, and it makes it a lot easier and more comfortable. And especially for the relationship that my character, Eliza, has with Kat, Catherine, that is played by Lizzie Thompson.
Her younger sister, yeah.
Yes. Her and I have already known each other for 3 shows, so it was really easy and comfortable to get into kind of a sisterly role with each other.
Nice.
But it's always really great that Penelope always lets us leave, like, some sort of figurative thing in the room, like, I want to leave this sort of insecurity or that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Leaving the character behind is quite important,
yeah,
especially
very
when we're dealing
so.
With heavy work.
Yes.
100%. I totally agree with that. Mm. And I think that comes with, because I don't know how to say this, but it's like you're taking on another mind, right?
Mm.
And when you take that mind on, you have to take on their baggage. You don't want to leave the room with that, you know, following you around, because it's just not. But that's just not nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But April, I really like Eliza's character. Like, it's very, I don't know, she's very interesting, right?
Yes.
And very distinct. And you bring a quality to her that, like, really brings her to life. And I wanted to ask, like, what is the sort of, like, process you go into in order to get into character?
Oh, gosh.
yeah, we're going to dramatize this.
The way that I get into character, well, I find it hard to get into character without knowing the lines already.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it, I imagine, is placing myself in the area and the time that is 1940s and trying to just kind of forget parts of my own self, which I imagine some people would say is dangerous. and just trying to basically whittle down my own self
mm-hmm.
to elements that I would compare her and I, Eliza, to have in common, and then add other little things in.
Right, right.
And that way I find it easier to relate and also understand her more, because it's quite hard to play a character that might do things that you would never do.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And still be able to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, fortunately, I've had a somewhat easy time with doing that with this show so far.
That's good. Because I just remember when Penelope allowed us to sort of like have a sneak peek of the script well before the table read.
Oh, yes.
it was us two, the three of us.
Yes.
And we got like a sneak peek in the beginning. And I remember you immediately gravitated towards Eliza.
Is that a compliment? I'm not sure.
I think it's because she is more of the... She is the oldest character in the bunch of the schoolgirls. And I suppose I just see myself being kind of painted as that instead of possibly characters like Genevieve. Something for people to look forward to.
Yes, come see Genevieve. Yes.
Genevieve is a riot.
Watto.
And who plays Genevieve?
Genevieve is played by Bethan Ardoin, who is an actress who was originally from Oamaru, but we worked, April and I worked with her in Alice in Wonderland. She was an absolutely fantastic Nibbles. and she plays Genevieve so well. She kind of, well, Genevieve is your best friend, Padma's best friend. Well, at least Genevieve sees herself.
Favorite,
yeah. Genevieve sees herself as Padma's best friend. Whether that's true or not, you'll have to come and find out. But Genevieve is highly insecure, very highly strung. Kind of the feminine, kind of Enid Blyton type of schoolgirl.
So that's where you got your inspiration from.
A little bit. Well, the whole play is inspired by Mallory Towers.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, Enid Blyton's Mallory Towers books. And if you are a Mallory Towers enjoyer, Genevieve is modelled off the character of Gwendolyn, who is kind of sulky and immature. And that's sort of Genevieve. But she's also, by the same coin, a great character to play and a lot of fun to see Bethan bring to life with so much energy. She has so much
100%.
Vivacity.
I think everyone in this show is like so talented because we don't just, at least specifically with the actors as well, like we don't just come in to act. We have like other roles to do as well. So like, for example, April, you're doing the set.
Yes, I'm doing set design.
Which looks amazing.
I'm having a great time with it, and I'm going to be and have been working with
Emily Gilbert,
quite closely. My goodness, it's been a long and hot day.
No, fair enough. Yeah, no, for real. And we've been, you know, busy working away.
Yeah.
I play Padma, but I also am designing the lights, which I'm having so much fun doing.
Say that with a little bit more feeling.
No, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm just a little bit, you know,
It's all kind of a step into the unknown for all of us.
Mm-hmm,
for most of us, this is our first Fringe Festival. Certainly for me, this is mine. And kind of heading this production and working with creatives, that this is our first time. It's nerve-wracking, definitely. But it's also really rewarding to see what our fellow creatives come up with.
100%. And to do it with friends as well. Like, it's sort of, like you say, it's like very rewarding, but you get to experience this unknown together, like holding hands, stepping it through together. And I think that's just so fun.
Yeah.
You know, it brings us closer. We get to experience something new, and we, you know, also further develop our careers, which is really, really fun.
Yeah.
But since we were talking about Bethan as well, we might as well talk about the other amazing creatives behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
We have Maggie Holtham. Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't know people's last names, actually. I'm just realizing now.
We've got Lizzie Thompson.
Lizzie Thompson, Maggie Holtham, obviously April McMillan Perkins.
Yeah, there you go.
I've known this for so long, 100%.
I'm horrible at names.
And we also have Afa.
Yes. Afa Kaptein.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Tobias Dever is working on our sound.
Our diversity hire.
One man.
I saw that on Instagram and I was just like, Pip, you're crazy.
It's funny. Come on.
It's hilarious. No, I love it. How did you get that past him, by the way?
The diversity hire?
Yeah.
I messaged him and said, hey, do you think it would be fine if I called you a diversity hire on our Instagram? And he said, yep.
You're so chill. And so, I know you and Tobias have worked together on Alice in yes. Wonderland the Pantomime.
Yes.
So you guys are very familiar with each other's work.
Yes, but we also worked together before that on Peter Pan. We've done quite a lot of work together
Amazing.
In the past.
Right.
So, yes, I think if there's a production I'm in, Tobias is usually not far behind.
Okay, they're so cool. Two peas in a pod.
Yeah. Dynamic duo. But we've got quite a few Alice in Wonderland people who have come back yeah. to work with us. April, Lizzie, Bethan, Afa were all involved in Alice. Maggie as well.
Yes.
Emily as well. So,
oh, so it's
Tobias.
Just me, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my gosh, that's crazy. Well, thanks for letting me join the group, guys.
That is no problem. No, we are so glad to have you.
It's so fun. Like, it's so fun. Like, I can't get it out enough because it's always a wild roller coaster ride. And you never really know what to expect within the rehearsal room, especially when, because obviously there's like written down jokes in the script and things like that. But and we know they're funny on paper, but then you play it out and it just becomes, you know,
I know
tears,
the one you're thinking of. Yeah.
Tears down your face laughing and it's just, and then it just derails the whole thing.
Yeah. Everyone will have to come and see the show to see the funny bits.
Yeah.
Especially there's one in particular I think we're all thinking
yeah.
of.
Yeah. 100% for sure. Okay. So we're starting to reach the halftime part and I wanted you guys to pick the song that would sort of be a little bit more on theme. So, Pip, I understand
yes.
you chose this. Could you tell us more about, first, what the song is and why you chose it?
Yes, sure. So it's called We'll Meet Again by Vera Lynn, and it was quite popular at the time that the play is set in the 1940s. It was kind of a World War II song, especially directed towards soldiers and mm-hmm. their wives, and it's a song about loss and love and also the hope that even if we are parted for a long time that at some point who knows where and when that we'll come back together again. And I thought that really nicely sums up some of the themes of the play without saying too much.
Amazing. Okay, awesome. We'll see you guys in a wee minute.
We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Yeah.
and welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that song. Actually, April, while the song was playing, you actually shared like something really emotional, and I kind of wanted to put you on the stage a little bit and sort of explain. But it's all right because it's sort of very personal, and thank you so much for sharing that with us. But I think you guys would probably understand it anyway, listening to that song because of how emotional it was. So that's all right. All right. So we were talking about people involved in the production before. And I sort of wanted to highlight for a second Maggie Holtham, because she has been doing the costumes for Entertaining Angels Unaware. And she has been doing a magnificent job.
Yes.
Like, crazy. What I think is particularly amazing about it is that she's pretty much made most things from scratch,
yes,
and it all looks so good and professional.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. Maggie is a very talented seamstress and costume designer, and she has taken on the challenge of crafting a uniform for our fictional boarding school, St. Agnes School, with such gumption. And she's created pinafores. She's created nightgowns. They look absolutely amazing. And what's even more impressive is that she sources everything that she makes her costumes out of secondhand, because it's her personal mission to avoid contributing to fast fashion industries by ensuring that she recycles fabric. And although that makes things perhaps more difficult for her, she really excels at creating these costumes. The nightgowns in particular are absolutely beautiful.
Yes,
they're so period typical.
I love it so much. And it's, I really aspire that, not aspire, admire. I really admire that sort of determination to sort of like follow your principles and beliefs, even if it makes things more difficult.
Yeah.
Because fast fashion is a problem. And it's like, you know, how it, like, accelerating our end. It's kind of crazy.
That's cheery.
because a lot of the times, these costumes that we make for, like, theater or for movie sets and stuff, it's one use and then we're throwing it away. And
yeah,
that's such a
huge
waste.
Problem in the industry,
100%. The only reason why I know so much about it, though, is because I was taking the design paper and then we had to do some studies about it. I never realized how much it actually impacted the way we live and things like that. But going back to the rehearsal space, I wanted to talk to you, Pip, about your sort of like directing style, because I know you brought it up briefly before. But if you were to, you know, talk about your playwriting and then your directing, which one would you sort of like say you enjoy more?
That's a really good question. Playwriting, I absolutely love. And I think that's possibly my passion. However, on the flip side of that, playwriting is also really, really difficult. Not to say that directing isn't, but I find, at least for me, playwriting is really hard, incredibly rewarding, but it takes a lot of discipline, that I don't always have. So there's a flip side to playwriting in that it can be quite challenging. Directing is also challenging, but when you're in a rehearsal room with people, it's lovely to have that support, especially when it's going well. And I've been really lucky that I've had wonderful casts to work with. I'm sure that if the relationship wasn't quite so strong between the director and the cast, then the process could be more difficult. But so that's not a very that's a very ambiguous answer.
No, that's all right. If that's how you feel, then that's how you feel.
I mean, I love directing, and I love being around people, and I love seeing a product come to life. I think playwriting can feel quite solitary, but I also do really enjoy the process of sitting and creating and seeing something come together at the end of it as well.
Yeah, 100%. And April, so you do behind the scenes for set, and you're also acting. Which one do you think you prefer, being the mastermind behind the designs or being the one to bring characters to life?
Oh, well,
careful now.
I would have to say that I prefer being on the stage rather than behind it, but it really has given a really interesting and different perspective when being on the stage and being at rehearsal and looking and watching my peers and fellow actors doing a scene and going, what could be the most, like, useful way for a set to lay and also a visually interesting one. I've done one set design before for Adeline's Cottage, which is also coming to Fringe.
Yay! That's amazing.
Yeah. And that was my first time, and I had a really great time with that. But this is definitely offering a different type of set because it does kind of have to be period accurate, which...
And that comes with its own set of difficulties, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it does. But we have some really great people that have donated, like, set pieces for us and also...
Period set pieces.
Yeah, period set pieces. And also just, yeah, it's great being in a company because we all work together really well.
Amazing. Actually, good that you brought up donations because I actually wanted to touch upon our Boosted campaign.
Yes.
And thank the people who really helped us and, you know, sort of get us off our feet. But I'll let Pip explain it because I don't think I can properly word it.
Sure. So for those of you listening that aren't aware of what a Boosted campaign is, Boosted is an initiative set up for primarily for arts funding because the arts is expensive. Putting on a show is really expensive, as we've learned across this process. And Boosted helps creatives to crowdfund. So it's donations all from the community, all optional. And the idea is that you set a goal and you need to reach that goal in order to get the money that people have donated to you. And we were really, really lucky that we met our initial target within the first week of our Boosted campaign being open. And then we were able to extend our goal as well, which was wonderful. So I just wanted to say thank you so much to everybody, anyone listening who may have donated across that process. We'll share the link as well, spread the word. We really appreciate your donations. We really couldn't do this without you, unfortunately. As much as us creatives love to just kind of live with our heads in the clouds, we do need the cold hard cash to That's make true. Things happen.
Unfortunately,
yeah. So thank you all so much. We are really, really grateful.
Yeah, thank you so much. Seriously, guys, we couldn't do this without you.
We're in the trenches.
No, for real. Oh my gosh. Because it's like... in the shows that I've been involved in the past, it was either a part of university or in high school, right? So you usually go in as a part of a group, not as well as being the executives of it, right?
Yes.
So now being you know, in a group of people who are trying to put something on completely independently, it's sort of like, I guess, wakes you up a little bit to the harshness of reality.
It's a sad truth, but I think that's what Fringe is about, kind of scraping together your pennies, putting a show on the smell of an oily rag.
I love that. Oh, my gosh.
Which is what we've kind of been doing as well. But we couldn't have done it without the Boosted campaign.
100%.
I definitely think it makes you more appreciative as well, not only for your own show, but also seeing all of the other shows that are going on. Because some are, like, more successful and boosted and some are less successful, but you always see the amount of passion that they put in. And, yeah, it's just great to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what other Fringe shows that are sort of, like, piquing your interest at the moment that you would like to go to?
Well, I have to give a big shout-out to the Steps Beyond season at Allen Hall, not only because Pas de Trois is part of that, but also because we have two other amazing plays that are being performed at Allen Hall as part of that. Adeline's Cottage, which is another original work by Alex Gordy, directed by Eli Graham. And then we also have The Goon Show.
yes, Harry has did come on
in the
past.
Yes, which is Harry Almy's... love child, brainchild. and that's taken from old radio shows of The Goon Show, Spike Milligan scripts, things like that, which is also going to be an absolute laugh. I say also, that's probably the only show out of the three that actually is a laugh. The other two are quite serious. But I'm really excited to go and see Pas de Trois again and to go and support the rest of the artists. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's so exciting this year because not only is it our first time being a part of Fringe, but also, April, have you been a part of Fringe before?
I have been a volunteer for Fringe.
Oh, nice. So you really come in at all angles, huh?
A few, yeah. I think that is part of community theatre.
Putting the community in community theatre. Yes. April's rolling her eyes. She thinks it's cheesy when I say that.
I love cheesy. That's so good.
Thank you so much. Get out.
But no, I've grown up in Dunedin, mm-hmm. so I've seen all of the eras of Fringe Show, mm-hmm. And seen the ones that I was allowed to go to as a child, and then growing up and becoming more independent and getting to see it as like an adult or a teenager, and then eventually being able to volunteer and going to shows and being a bouncer or serving drinks and things like that. It gives a different perspective to things.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's so nice to be able to experience this with all our friends who are doing it for the first time as
yeah.
well.
It's very community focused, that's yeah. for sure. Putting the community in community theatre.
Oh, shut up.
I think it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Thank you,
know?
Asha.
Because it doesn't take one pillar to hold a house.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Sorry, you guys didn't see that, but April just gave me the most dead look.
April doesn't like community, guys. You heard it here
no,
first.
No, I just don't like cheesiness. Maybe that's why I went to Eliza, maybe. Oh
Eliza, she doesn't like the cheesy.
Oh, she definitely doesn't.
Yeah, that actually reminds me. Padma and Eliza's relationship is really funny to me.
Mm.
It's
quite strange.
It's very strange.
Yes, because they're quite... They're both in quite high roles at the school.
Yes, Padma is form captain and yes. Eliza, as you said previously, is a prefect.
Yes. So it means that we have to have a level of respect for each other.
But do you really?
Yeah.
Professionalism.
A little bit. Yeah. But there is also the strain because you are my little sister's best friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's quite obvious that I'm quite jealous of that.
Right. And yeah. the way Padma sees you would be like, you're my friend's controlling older sister.
Yes.
A bit.
Which is
yes.
probably true.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eliza.
I think my favourite way, we did hot seating early in the process to try and get into character a bit more.
Yes, and I was just going to say, what is hot seating?
Hot seating, it's something that does tend to happen early process of getting into character and getting into a play. And the actor sits down in front of the company or just a few of the cast members and the director. And in character, they are asked questions about other people, things that they themselves believe. Mm. And it just gives a few things that you would not usually think about mm-hmm, when mm-hmm. you're looking at a script. But I remember when we were hot seating you as Padma, you were asked specifically what you think about Eliza. Mm. And as the true diplomat, you said, she's a prefect.
And that was it.
Yeah.
I had to think about that. I was like, ooh, she's a prefect.
Yeah. And that was all.
No disagreements here. We're all civil on the surface.
Yes. No, Padma is... I often say to the group that certain characters in this play are kind of not intended necessarily to teach the audience something, but they do have moral value, each mm-hmm. of them. And Eliza, as the sort of main character, the protagonist certainly, she has the most to learn. Padma is the closest to ideal in the world of the play. Her approach is she is less strict than Eliza, but she has the ability to be strong and to know the boundaries. She's a good influence most of the time, but she also knows when to let loose. So she strikes that balance that's not really seen in any other character in the play. So she is, although I wouldn't have said that she provides a good influence to Eliza because Eliza just refuses to listen.
Yes.
She certainly is to the audience a model of what Eliza should be, but is not.
Right. No, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting seeing you like pick the words without like having to spoil everything.
I'm really, really struggling.
No, you're very good at it though.
Thank you.
But I feel so, so honored to be able to play Padma, and I hope to be able to sort of like meet your expectations.
Oh, absolutely. You always do.
Thank you. But it's just I wanted to talk as well, like the relationship between Kat and Eliza, because they're sisters, right?
Mm, yes.
But a lot of the times you sort of see that they're very countering each other sort of thing. You know, it's very tense. You say before that you work really well with Lizzie, who plays Kat.
Yes.
And so does that help when it comes to, you know, acting out the more tenser, heavy scenes?
I think it does. One of the first rehearsals that we did included all of the scenes that her and I share together alone. Mm-hmm. And that does include quite a heavy scene later in the play. I'm not going to, but when we were working through it together, even though it is a heavy topic, just because we had the comfort of each other and we knew that we weren't going to take it anywhere unsafe or going to push any boundaries, fortunately, her and I think, bounce off each other quite well, and we know when to stop and we know to go.
Yeah. There's that trust there, right?
Yes.
It's been really lovely to see that, in the rehearsal room. Although it's quite funny because Lizzie is actually the oldest of our group. April is one of the youngest, and April is playing Lizzie's older sister. But
that's so funny.
It works really well because Lizzie is a really great character actor, and she's great at playing younger, and April plays really well older as well. So it's completely believable. Not that you guys necessarily have family resemblance, but your mannerisms make it believable, and your relationship makes it believable that you really are sisters, but just perhaps
in a different
don't look
font.
The same. Yeah.
Sisters in a different font in another life kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Soul sisters,
yeah.
To be fair, my brother and I look nothing alike.
Yeah, well, that's the way with siblings sometimes. But I think it's the intensity of your relationship that will draw the audience in. And I just want to disclaimer here. I have a beautiful relationship with my sister. For anyone coming to see the play.
Your sister listening to this right now is just like, what the freak?
No, I love my little sister very much. And the relationship between Eliza and Kat is not inspired by our relationship at all. But
it's the antithesis,
the love that Eliza has for Kat and that Kat has for Eliza, although she doesn't like to show it, is very real. So shout out Violet if you're listening.
Sorry, that's so funny to me. I'm just imagining like people being like, okay, Pip, like, are you okay?
Or asking Violet, my little sister, are you okay?
Like, what's going on there?
No, absolutely not.
I have a question regarding back to the hot seating before, right? So we talked about Padma when she was being in the hot seat, but how did you respond when Eliza was in the hot seat? Like, what did you discover about her that you were like, oh, I didn't realize that until I answered the question?
How can I answer this without spoiling anything?
If you can't, that's all good.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, which is why, like, I'm curious.
I suppose...
Let's go general themes, not details.
Oh, there was something quite interesting and sweet that both Lizzie and I discovered in our sisterly bond of a history that is not written down on the script, but we made together of when we were younger, we would play and make believe fairies together would run around a tree together and pretend to be finding fairies.
Aunt Nettie's willow tree.
Yes, and it was just quite a sweet little thing that I feel like most people can relate to, like tiny, silly little games that you would do back then.
Fairies are very serious.
That, back then, would feel so important and so huge. It definitely, I think even though it's such a tiny little thing, it definitely created a bit of a bond more with Lizzie and I and our characters.
Yeah. It personalizes them a little bit more. Yeah. fairies.
Fairies is serious business.
It's fairies.
It's very, so serious. Very serious.
Don't tell one your name.
Yeah, no.
Be careful with the fair folk.
Yeah, they'll take your identity.
That's just free advice.
You won't know. Don't go wandering into any fairy circles now.
Yeah. We would know.
Yes.
Oh, God. What did you guys get up to? Oh, my God. I just remember when I was in the hot seat, I don't remember who, but someone asked if Padma had any siblings, and I immediately, like, blanked, but instinctually, like how I felt with the way Padma sort of like reacts and cares for the people around her, I was like, she's the oldest daughter for sure, but she has an older brother. Mm. And I don't know if you, Pip, had like that vision for her or not. And I don't know if, you know, that never really comes across in the staging at all, but it's more for me.
Yeah.
And just because I feel like, I don't know, like, just the way she acts just gives me, like, a very, very, like, caring, caregiver sort of, like, role. And if, I think anyone who's sort of grown up in a, like, sort of Asian household, you sort of understand when I say oldest daughter vibes, but not oldest kid vibes.
Interesting.
There's a very strong distinction there.
Interesting. That's really interesting. I really love, because I'm glad that you brought up the kind of elements of your character that are only for you and don't come across in the staging, because everyone across this process in the cast has been really dedicated to picking out those little details that, once again, don't come across in the staging, aren't written in the script, but help to make the characters more rich. Maggie, who plays Mary, came up with the whole backstory.
Oh, she's so good.
She's really, really good. But everyone has done those sorts of things. And one thing that I've asked Asha to do is to write down a list of Padma's pranks across her time at school, which I just think is a fun way to get thinking about Padma's more mischievous side. And it's very Mallory Towers, if you've ever read the books. But I really love... people will come to me and say, what do you think about this idea? And I'll say, absolutely, if you can justify it in the text. I love to hear what people's interpretations are of these characters, because you're all thinking about them even more deeply than the way I thought about them. I'm thinking about group dynamics and motivations, objectives, backstories, but you are going really deep into thoughts, feelings, personal details, which is wonderful. I love to see them kind of stand and walk.
It has been very, very rewarding to see these characters slowly come to life bit by bit. Like, it's sort of like seeing, I don't know if there's an apt like comparison, but like sort of seeing a little like someone come out of a coma in a movie, where it's like first their fingers sort of like twitch and then their eyes are rolling behind their eyelids and then they're alive.
That's terrifying, but I know what you mean.
I can't think of anything more positive.
Maybe a baby fawn learning how to walk for the first time.
Oh, romantic.
Yeah.
It's very You know the like filter hazy sort of like
capital R romantic.
Yeah.
Wordsworth.
Yay! Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming on to the show today. It has been a pleasure. Do you guys have any last things that you wanted to share? Any things you think that the audience should know about you?
Get tickets.
Yes, I was just going to say, for our final plug, tickets for Entertaining Angels Unaware, but also tickets for lots of Fringe shows. Put yourself out there, try new things, even if you don't think those shows might necessarily be you, even if you're not a theatre person. Now is an amazing time to support the arts, but also have a really great time as well and entertain yourselves like we entertain the angels.
Yes. Get in.
Get in. Yeah, as our good friend Brent would say, get in. Yeah.
Shout out, Brent. Get in, Otipoti. Awesome. So you can get those tickets on the Dunedin Fringe website, which you can just search up Dunedin Fringe. Specifically for our show, we'll be hosting it at the Nat, 10 p.m. on the
12th, 13th and 14th of March. We'll see you there.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you. And April, anything you'd like to say?
No.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Oh, our Instagram.
Yes, follow us on social media. Yes. So Double Take Productions, which is the name of our theatre group, has a Facebook page and an Instagram page. If you look up at double.take.productions, you'll see updates from our rehearsal process. We've got amazing pictures of our media shoots as well by Lizzie Thompson, which are incredible.
So talented, my
yes. And just updates about the show in general. So give us a follow. That would be great.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening, guys. As usual, please pay attention to what's going on in the news. Boycott Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Disney, and McDonald's. It's very important that we support where we can. But I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you guys so much. Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.